makes it almost easy to preach after that. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. What a blessing. We've been studying in 1 Samuel, but we're going to take a little bit of a break from that tonight. You say, Pastor, why would we have teen testimony on a night that we're going to be talking about a little bit about the missions trip coming up, and then also have the Lord's table all on the same night? Well, I'll tell you why I like to have teen testimony. First of all, I think it's important for the church to know what God's doing in the hearts of young people. Listen, I don't know where in America you can go and hear teenagers talking about what God is doing in their lives and how God is speaking to them. And so I am greatly blessed to hear of a young lady that says, hey, I'm putting it all on the altar. Or a young man that says, I'm all in. Or somebody that says, I'm going to care more about what God says or thinks than what people around me. Listen, that's a blessing. It's even more of a blessing when you think about the time of life that they're in, very critical time of their life, making very, very wise decisions. And so I'm excited to hear what the Lord is doing, and whether it's something practical that God gives them or something spiritual. Listen, God is working, and I'm so thankful for that. And so, in your prayer journal, you can say answered prayer. If you prayed for our teenagers that God would speak to them this week, that God would deal with them and help them to grow, then I want to tell you, your prayers were answered. And so we're thankful for that. Teenagers, thank you so much for sharing and being transparent in what God was doing in your life this week. It's a blessing to us more than you will probably know. I want you to turn your Bibles to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm just going to read the first two verses, and then we're going to jump ahead in just a few moments. The Bible says in chapter 13 of Numbers, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall he send a man, every one a ruler among them. As you know, Jed and Gloria Duarte and myself will be going on a survey trip, a missions trip to Brazil. And I think I just wanted to spend some time talking about that and why we're going and the importance of going there. And if not almost everything that I'm going to talk about tonight is going to be related to that. I talked to John O'Malley. Many of you know who that is. He's works for Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions, and he's given me a lot of this information. I asked him, I said, Brother O'Malley, what do you have on reasons and things to go on a missions trip? And he said, I'm so glad you asked. And he sent me about 6 pages worth. But don't worry, we're not doing all 6 pages tonight, okay? But I do want to hit some highlights that I think are very, very important. I want you to understand that, in a sense, survey trips are not extra-biblical. Consider what God has told Moses to tell the children of Israel. Before I studied this, I really thought for a long time Moses just came up with this because it seemed like a good strategy to go and find the victory. But as you saw in verse 1 there, it is the Lord telling Moses to send spies into the wilderness. And so it's not something that Moses devised or thought would be a good idea or some kind of war strategy. It was just simple obedience because God had told him to send those spies out that way. And so as we go on a survey trip, it's going to provide an opportunity for God to show us what he wants to do in that place with them. Now, them is Jed and Gloria, all right? I'm so excited. The three that we're seeing here, if you think about it, two of them were born in Brazil and lived there for a long time, and Lord willing, one is going back to serve, but not one of them that was born there. And so Gloria, you weren't singing up here, brother. Well, Lord willing, someday maybe. He's convinced already. Amen. So, but God says, send thou the man that they may search the land. And send the one from every tribe. And so one of the things we're going to do, and we'll talk about this in greater detail, is to look at the possibilities and places where God would have Jed and Gloria to plant a church. Not only that, but a survey trip is going to expose our heart And now when I say our, I'm talking about Jed, Gloria, and mine, but by extension, this church as well. Because I'm convinced as God works in my heart as a pastor, as God is dealing with me about giving a burden to reach and plant a church there in Brazil, how can it not affect the ministry here at Maranatha Baptist Church? And so it's going to expose our heart, to what God's heart is. Lamentations 3:51 says, "Mine eye affect mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." Listen, we can't help but be affected by what we see. And so I'm looking forward and asking God to do a work in my heart so I can see people as He sees them. And listen, this doesn't have to be just in Brazil. We ought to have that same prayer for right here in Shelby, North Carolina. By the way, a survey trip will help us to have vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Proverbs 29:18. And as we go, we're praying that God is going to give us a vision, give us a direction. Let us not just see bricks and mortar, but help us to see the work that he has planned for that place. You know, one of the things that architects or draftsmen must have is something called perception. Now, I met one draftsman. He could draw exactly what you wanted, but he said he had no perception. Perception is being able, in a sense, to see the end at the very beginning. People that are able to draw a building and see what it looks like and just have this clear vision before you ever get started have a perception, in a sense. And so we want to have that vision. We want to see what God's going to do before he ever even gets them in country. Fourthly, the survey trip is going to give us an opportunity to count the cost. We know the parable that the Lord gave in Luke 14:28. "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" So we want to make sure that the support that they raise is adequate and sufficient to be able to support them and a family should the Lord give them that. And so, as we said, the survey trip itself, in a sense, is given and established by the children of Israel as they sent spies into Canaan. Consider God's goals for the 12 spies that they were sent into this survey trip to Canaan. Let's look at verses 18 through 20 just very quickly. Well, let's start in verse 17. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. Verse 20, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes." And so God is telling them, first and foremost, number one, that he wanted them to see the land. We have great technology today. In some places, you can go and look on a computer and look at the topography of an area just on the computer, and you can see the hills, the valleys, the mountains. We have technology. Doc, you're not going to believe this, but we have technology where you can zoom in so close, you can be like you're in a car driving down a road somewhere else. And just to be able to see the sights and sound. Listen, I went home and visited Tucson about 3 weeks ago just to see all the changes that have taken place, and I didn't have to leave my office to do it, all right? But I tell you, it's not the same. It's not the same. We may be physically, with our eyes, be able to see some of the landmarks. We may be able to see some of the topography, but that is not the same idea as seeing or getting a sense and a feel for the land that is there. And when we're talking about a land, we're not just talking about the topography. Certainly he talks about not just seeing the land, but what the layout of the land is. I'm going to show you a map in just a few minutes and give you a little bit of our itinerary so you can be in prayer for us throughout those week and a half or 2 weeks that we're gone. And one of the things that we're going to do is we're not just flying up to where Jed believes God is leading him to plant a church, but we're going to be driving 10 or 12 hours just to see the lay of the land, to get a feel for the towns and the little villages that are on the way up there, just to see what what God has there. We want to see who lives in the land. As I was preparing this, I had this thought. What if people think this is not really necessary? And I don't think, no one's come to me and complained or said, why is this? As a matter of fact, everyone I've talked to has been very, very supportive. But I have this fear that says, listen, Jed was born there. Jed grew up there in Brazil. Why in the world would he have to take a survey trip? And I want to ask you this question. If you were born and raised here in Shelby, North Carolina, and you decided that you're going to tell somebody from Brazil to raise support to come to America, and you went to all the stores and you did all the legwork to find out what it would cost to go to Shelby, North Carolina, and when they bought their ticket, they said, listen, the Lord is sending us to New York, and because it's America, I'm sure whatever you've put together is going to be sufficient for us. Is that going to work? There's absolutely no way. The cost of living in New York is about, I don't know, I didn't look it up, probably about 10,000 times more than here in Shelby, North Carolina. And so Brazil is the fifth largest country in the world. And so to think that where he grew up is going to be the same on the other side of the country would be foolishness. And so not only are we going to get a sense of the land, but we want to know who lives there. Find out their strengths and their weaknesses. Determine if there's enough people there, or not enough, but how many people are there. See what the layout and the value of the land. Determine how they live. One of the things we have to understand is the economics of the land. Is it doing well? Is it fat? Or is it lean? Is it more of an affluent area? Or is it more a low income or middle income? In that sense, he's talking about fat or lean, or wood or no wood. And it says to bring back the fruit of the land. So what should our goals be for the survey trip? Well, I'm going to give you six goals in just a moment. But I want to remind you that God wanted them to go to the land to possess it for what? For them? No, for him. It's a testimony. The nation of Israel was always a testimony for God. And so he would give them the land, but they were the ones that were going to have to battle for it. And I'll tell you this, any time that a young couple or any couple wants to do anything for God, there is going to be extreme spiritual warfare. So he wanted them to see what it was for themselves. By the way, it is hard to get a burden or intensify burden from Google Maps. Okay? You can read all about a country, and I'm not saying that won't help your burden. That's great. I think you ought to know about where you're going. But you can read all about it. You can have all these factual and encyclopedic knowledge of what is over there, and it never truly affects your heart. But I don't know anyone that's ever gone on a missions trip, or even a survey trip for that matter, that didn't come back with a greater burden for the work that God wants them to do there. So he called them and commanded them to look over it, and really, it was nothing more than a reconnaissance mission. And in a sense, that's what we're going to be doing. And so, let me give you, well, before I get there, let me say that we need to pray then that God is going to give them the land. Do you understand? When we talk about strengths and weaknesses, we're not looking at physical battles or in embattlements or whatever. We're talking about spiritual things. And so one of the things we're going to go and look at is hey, what kind of spiritual condition are the people in? What is the reception of the gospel? And what's going to be the best course of action? And where are we going to physically plant this church? This is not just enough to hear about it from someone else. God could have told the nation of Israel all about it. As a matter of fact, he did once or twice, but he still wanted them to go. And by the way, some of them, remember the old song? God sent 12 spies to Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? But I'll tell you, when we go, it's to reinforce the burden and to encourage them and to embolden them, knowing that we're going to support them, not just financially, but prayerfully, to help them to conquer the land spiritually. But listen, not so they can build an empire, but so that they can see the word of God increase. I'll say this. I've spent a pretty good amount of time talking to Jed about philosophy of ministry. And listen, he's got it right. He's got it right. He's looking for the Lord to do something, and I'm excited for them to get there and for God to use them. All right. Six goals, very quickly. Number one, goal number one. It's very complicated. See the land. I've said that a few times tonight, but I want to get that in your mind. We want to go where the people live. I want to see local events or what's going on. Listen, we're going to go to the marketplace and mingle. We'll go to the grocery stores, the hardware stores. Listen, we'll go to a furniture store. I don't know, do they have car dealerships there, brother? We might go to a car dealership. Visit the local government offices. You know, listen to the local radio. What are the people tuned into? What, I'm not talking about listening to rock and roll. I'm just saying, you know, what are they keyed into? What are they into? What are they being fed daily? What I'm saying is I want to see the land through the eyes of a national. How do they see where they live? Whether it's a wife or a husband. We also need to see it through the eyes not only of a missionary, but the eyes of our Lord. So we need to just see the land. Secondly, I want to see what the layout of the land is. Again, we can go and Google population. Jed and I were just talking. It's amazing. We can just look up, and one of the places that we're going to be looking very strategically at is a place called Alta Floresta. It has about 50,000 people there, and looking at making that a hub for a church plant right there. But there's some other smaller cities in the surrounding area. It would be difficult, I believe, to plant a mother church there, but I think it'd be a great opportunity to send out some church planters from an established work. We're going to look and see what the demographic of the cities are. We'll see what the other, if any, missionaries. Listen, I don't know of any independent Baptists. As a matter of fact, Brother Joel and Miss Noel there are going to Brazil as well, and they're going to be two days away. And so I guess for Brazil, that's not too far away. What's that? About 1,000 miles. Jed's trying to talk to me in kilometers. I'm in trouble for these next couple of weeks. We want to see what the layout is. And I think it's just going to help us to better strategize. Now, the honest truth is, we make plans, but we don't exclude the Lord. And we say, if it's the Lord's will, I believe this is the direction that we need to go. But we want to be sensitive to the Lord's direction and leading. And so whether it's something as a transportation system that people may need to use in order to get to the church, or something that maybe is in the neighborhood where people can walk, it's just things that we're going to be looking for to see the layout of the land. I want to know, not only is there independent Baptists there, but I want to broaden the circle just a little bit to see who else has been teaching there. Are there Southern Baptists there, or Pentecostals, or certainly the Catholics? But we want to understand what is being taught, because that's going to really oftentimes affect how we present the gospel to someone. It's the same gospel, but certainly people that have a different background will understand if you're able to couch it and help them to understand the error of what they believe now. Goal number three, see who lives in the land. I told you, we're keeping it simple. It's not be complicated. The Lord told the spies, determine their strengths, determine their weaknesses. And so, as I said just a little while ago, we want to determine the spiritual strengths, the spiritual weaknesses of the country. I want to know what people believe there. And you know, there's a lot of people in America that call themselves Catholic that haven't darkened the door of a church in 20 years, but they just are Catholic. And it's not just Catholic. There's a lot of people that went to church as a kid, and that's just what they claim or hold on to. I feel there's probably a lot of Baptists that way, or professed Baptists. We want to see who is living in the land, what their strengths are, determine what the spiritual strength and weakness of the country is. Goal number four, moving right along, determine the value of the land. And in this sense, we're going to notice the natural resources, obviously, but we're going to have to look at the cost of living. As I said earlier, you can't figure out something for Shelby and have it work in New York City. We want to make sure that we're not sending missionaries over there to live an affluent lifestyle, but we want to make sure that they are in the demographic in which they're going to be living and ministering to. And so we need to make sure that the cost of living and everything, as I mentioned earlier, from groceries to rent or house payments or whatever, is going to be able to be covered by the expenses that, or the support that they're going to raise. I said six, I meant five. I don't know why I'm going to change that right there. All right, goal number five, determine how they live. And that's really what I was getting into. What the housing costs are, how the nationals live, how foreign business people live, in a sense. And I think if we're able to and just talk to some people, and while I said that, you know, it's important for us to go because Jed grew up in another part, we do have some great insight in the fact that Jed is a national, and so he does have a Brazilian mindset, and I think him and Gloria will be far, far ahead as far as being able to really readily understand a lot of these questions very soon after we get there. But we want to make sure that not only are they supported and not under-supported, but not over-supported. And so we'll look at incomes if we're able to do that. And as I said, take note of what they consider to be affluent, and take note of what they believe is necessary to live. It's interesting that in some places, what we consider necessities, much of the world would consider luxuries. But it may be, in some places, what we might consider a luxury would be considered a necessity. You say, give me an example. I don't have one. But it's possible. And all I want to do is make sure that when we go, we are prepared. One of the quickest ways to help somebody prepare to fail is not to equip them, right? And so we want to make sure that they are fully equipped, that they have sat down, they have counted not just the cost of leaving family, or for Jed going back to closer to family, but still not really that close, but to sit down and to say, okay, what are the nuts and bolts? It is a spiritual warfare, but there are just, things that we have to live by. Budgets, we got to eat every day. There's just some living that has to get done. And so that's one of the things. All right, I'll throw in one more, since I said six earlier. It says, bring back the fruit of the land. And so, while we're there, we're going to be taking some pictures, probably find some curios or something. I knew one missionary that, Matt Shields, he always brought something back on his missions trips, whether it was a little stone. This last time from Aruba, he bought these little, half-cent pieces or something, and put a little magnet on there. And I tell you, that little stone kept in my truck for the longest time, and every time I saw it, it reminded me of him, and it reminded me to pray for him. And so it was just something to help people to catch the burden that God has given to you, and I know that he's going to give to me as well. And so just from Numbers 13, just some very, very practical things that we want to accomplish, some goals that we have as we go on this missions trip. Now, just very quickly, go ahead and lower that screen down if you will, Matt. Wrong one. Jed's parents, and where we'll be basing out of for the most part, is in, I can't say it right when I look at it, Cuiabá. All right, Cuiabá. And so that's right here. Let me back up just a little bit so you can just kind of see, maybe or maybe not. Can you find it? I wish I could. There. So that's where we're going to be basing out of. I just got rid of the other one. That's Alta Floresta there. And so we're going to be driving up on that road. And my understanding is, and I'll be able to speak better to this obviously when I get back, is they don't have an interstate system like what we have. And so you don't put it at 70 miles an hour and put the cruise control on and take a nap. Listen, if you take a nap when you're driving, only let one eye close at a time. But you can't do that. You can't do that. And so we're going to be doing a lot of traveling. I want to not only have you just get an idea, but Alta Floresta is up here. We'll be looking at some of the other places a little bit closer. Maybe, you just said there's another missionary that went to Novo Mundo. Is that right? Maybe I'm not. Am I not in close enough? Okay. So there's a couple other towns on the way up even that we're going to stop and just look at and just get a feel for the lay of the land and just spend some time, much time, praying. You know, as I said, while this is a logistics, it is a spiritual warfare. And we want to pray and ask God to do a work in these places. And so that's what one of the things I'm going to be asking you to do is just spend time in your devotions every day asking God to give clear leading and to give victory and to be able to plant a church there in Alta Floresta. Usually I say if it's his will, but it's God's will to plant a church. We just have to narrow down exactly where, okay? But we'll see that. We'll see that. All right, let me show you one other thing, and then I'll be done for tonight. I'm going to tie it all together here in just a second. Jed and Gloria leave a day before I do. It's a long story, and I'm not bitter. But I'll be leaving next Friday and getting there Saturday in Cuiabá, and then I'll be leaving almost immediately to go to Hondonopolis to go see Omar and Tracy Schrock and their kids. He's going to preach Sunday school, and then I'm going to preach Sunday night. Already inviting some people, and they've got some people that said they'll be there, but much like here, we'll know when they show up if they're going to be there or not. And so at the very least, I believe I'm hoping to be an encouragement to them. And so I'll be there all day Sunday, and I'll leave Monday morning to head back to Cuiabá, and then Monday afternoon try to get into town, do some money exchange, and maybe catch a sight or two, catch my breath, probably sleep. And Tuesday, we'll take care of some business. And then Wednesday, we're going to leave for Alta Floresta and take the next couple of days to travel up there, spend some time up there. And then on Saturday, return back. Or maybe Friday, we might be heading back, late Friday. And then I'm going to be preaching at Pastor Duarte's church there in Cuiabá for Sunday school and Sunday night. And I consider that an honor. And I'll be heading back on the 7th, and I will arrive in Charlotte at about 5 o'clock. Actually, I think I get there at 4 o'clock in the morning of the 8th. And so that's why Dr. Childs is preaching on the 9th. So I just wanted to put that up there just so that you know, kind of have an idea of where we're going to be at and how you can pray for us. Certainly we ask for safety and all the temporal things, but really pray that God will give direction and wisdom. I don't believe God wants to hide his will from us, but I believe we need to listen to that still, small, quiet voice for his leading. And so I want to tie this in to, thank you for that. You can go ahead and put that up. I want you to look at one last verse with me before we turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. You know, when we we think about having the Lord's table, and we think about his purpose in coming, and oftentimes we will spend some time talking about what he went through, and we'll emphasize the Passion Week and the atrocities that they did to him. I don't think that's wrong. I think that's good to focus on that from time to time and be reminded on what Christ did for us. But I want to take just a second and take a step back from the Passion Week and ask the question once again, why did he do that? Why did he do that? We talked a little bit about it this morning. It is so that you and I could have salvation. And what is it, the only organization or what I call organism that God has given to reach the world? It's not the YMCA. At one time, at least, they were doing something. But that's an extra biblical. And what happens? They just went way, way just liberal, right? It's not, what was the things with the dads for a while? Promise Keepers. I knew we had some members in here. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's not that. Listen, God has given one thing to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is the local church. The local church. A group of called out believers that are doing God's will. And so I want you to see when the Lord is talking about that this is his blood for the new covenant, the new testament, this new promise, it is certainly for the salvation of souls. But I want you to understand that it was not just for the salvation of souls. Look at Acts 20, verse 28. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." So he's talking to leaders, to elders at this point. But and so he's giving a command and that we ought to be feeding those that are in the church as leaders. But I want you to notice this last phrase that he gives, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." So as we think about church planting, as we think about missions, I want you to know that's the heartbeat of God. That is what he has called us as a church to reproduce, whether it's here in America or whether it's in another country. Listen, when we talk about him meeting in the upper room and he's telling his disciples that they're no longer under the old covenant, but we're under a new covenant and it's been paid for by the blood of Christ, I want you to know it's that blood that paid for the church of God. What a tremendous truth. That's why there's never going to be an extra biblical organization that is going to have lasting, long-lasting, effectual evangelization. Why? Because that's not how God sanctioned it. And maybe because I'm a pastor, but the longer I'm a pastor, the more local church-oriented I have become. Why? Because the longer I study the Bible, the more I see that's how he uses people, is through the local church. And so as we have the opportunity as a local church to help to go plant another local church just in another country, we have really a fulfillment, in a sense, of the new covenant. Why? Because we are seeing people come to Christ. That is just the truth of it. And so as we celebrate, in a sense, the Lord's table tonight, certainly I want to be introspective. Certainly I want you to think about your relationship with God. But I want you to take just a half a step back and say, God, why did you do it? And then I want you to ask him to help you to be a part of that process. And whether it's through prayer, or whether it's through your financial giving to our missions program, whether it's just Saturday soul winning, I want us to be a church that is fulfilling the new covenant. I'm so thankful that we're not under the law. I'm so thankful that we're not in any of those dispensations that we talked about, although the dispensation of innocence would have been fun for the first day or so. And I'm glad the guy whose name wasn't Jim, okay? But all I'm saying is, let's be grateful that we're in the dispensation, the church age, the age what they call of grace, knowing what Christ did was for us, but in fact for the entire world. It's just our responsibility to let them hear it. So at this time, I'm going to ask the men to come.